Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. This is Jason Troyer filling in for Bob Enyart, who is on vacation this week, camping with his son out in the wilderness of Colorado. Today is part two of the interview that Bob did with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, another cultural warrior, and so let's listen to that interview.
Coach Dave Dobenmeyer passing the salt with Pastor Bob Enyart from the Denver Bible Church, kgov.com. And I want to come back to something I said in the earlier segment. Some men trust in horses. Some men trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And I know, Pastor Bob, from you've been at this thing a lot longer than I have, but I know that you and Flip Benham and Cal Zastro and Ken and Joe Scott, and I can name Rusty Thomas, I can name a bunch more. I know this to be the truth, Pastor Bob. When you step out of the stained glass fortress, when you step out, and as Flip says, you let your faith become biology in the streets, it is amazing how the hand of the Lord moves. And what has happened to us in the church is rather than us being the salt and the light, Pastor Bob, it says in Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There are certain battles mandated the church must fight, not Republicans, not conservatives. There are a lot of great things going on in America, Pastor Bob, that are coming out of the church. Could you share a few things with us?
Well, absolutely. The big thing, the bright spot on the horizon, is the personhood movement that is exploding all over this country. The pro-life industry is fading. It's fading, Coach Dave. And it's being replaced with the pro-life ministry of the personhood movement. This includes Judy Brown's American Life League, Reverend Flip Benham's Operation Save America, Operation Rescue National. This includes Personhood USA with Cal Zastro, American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh, Colorado Right to Life, Michigan Citizens for Life, and dozens of other groups that have said, we will no longer refer to a Republican candidate as pro-life when he's really a child killer.
Because, Bob, one of the things that we've all seen happen is legislation. We think legislation has been the issue. In other words, and then you can kill the baby. That has been the strategy, hasn't it?
Exactly.
Parental notification, and then you can kill the baby. Up to 8 weeks, and then you can kill the baby. That has been the entire strategy of the pro-life movement.
Yeah, so much so that most of our pro-life leaders are actually against personhood. National Right to Life opposes any leader or any group that advocates the protection of the unborn child from the moment of conception. National Right to Life opposes that leader, opposes that group. And it's startling. This is also true of the Conference of Catholic Bishops. And it's also true of Clark Forsythe's Americans United for Life and Jay Sekulo and Priests for Life. And so many of the pro-life industry, Coach Dave.
Boy, it is an industry, too. That's a great word.
It's and they have taken in hundreds of millions of dollars to regulate the killing of unborn children. For example, the partial birth abortion fiasco, just that effort, 15 years wasted, they took in $250 million, and not one abortion, not one scheduled abortion had to be canceled because of that ban. That ban was a scam because abortionists could simply pull the baby out, not to the neck, just pull them out to the belly button, according to our pro-life legislation, so-called, and kill the baby. They could kill the baby so many ways.
Help people understand this, though, Bob. And it took me, when I first heard this, I didn't understand until my buddy Cal Zastro explained the thing to me. Why a personhood amendment, Bob? What will this do that other legislation has not done?
Yeah, well, personhood identifies the beginning of biological development of that human being. Mm-hmm. And it indicates that that new human being now has the same God-given right to life and the same protections as any other human being.
Mm-hmm.
So that a tiny child needs to be respected and protected by law, just like any other innocent person. And I'll give you an example. In Montana, Montana's personhood effort, their website, MontanaProLifeCoalition.org, on their homepage, they have links to a video on pro-life strategy. And it's so thrilling to us at American Right to Life that those links go to our video, Focus on the Strategy 2.
Oh, that's a great video. I gave out 100 of those things.
Well, God bless you for doing that, Coach Dave. And hey, right now in our studio, there is post-production work going on Focus on the Strategy 3. And it's powerful, Coach. I can't wait for it to be done.
So the personhood amendment means this. A baby at conception is now considered a person in the state of Montana, state of Colorado, state of Ohio as a pass-through. And what would I do, Bob?
Well, what you do is you support pro-life groups and leaders who advocate personhood, and you defund and oppose every alleged pro-life leader or group that opposes personhood.
Mm-hmm.
So you look for those Christian leaders who humble themselves before God and are willing to teach the biblical truth that the tiniest child is to be loved and protected, not discarded or killed for some pragmatic reason.
You know, Bob, it's crazy because I don't care who you talk to. You talk to a person on the street, they know that it's a baby. I mean, they've called it a fetus. They've called it all kinds of things. They know that it's a baby. And I remember I was teaching a class in a secular high school. I had an opportunity to go in and teach a class there, Bob. And I had, after I took them through the whole abortion thing and through the personhood and all that, I had a senior raise his hand in the back, and he says, let's all be honest in here. He says, we all know it's a baby. We all know it's a baby. We just want to kill it. And I thought, you know, there's some honesty, because that's really, that's really where we are, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so the beauty of this, when pro-lifers, like they just did in Arizona, they said, wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't bring clarity to the issue. Our goal is to teach people the truth, to teach people what God says about murdering the innocent. So God doesn't say, wait 24 hours and then you could kill your mother-in-law. God doesn't say that. He doesn't say, wait 24 hours, then you could kill your child. Wait 24 hours, then you could put your baby on the altar to Molech and burn him to death.
All wrong action begins with wrong thinking. Pastor Bob Binyard, how did we get into this mess?
We got into it because the pro-life movement has been taken over by lawyers and politicians who do not care about the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that these lawyers, they will bind heavy burdens on men's backs and not relieve them with one finger. And that's what the pro-life industry has done. It's been taken over by lawyers and politicians. And if you go to a pro-life group like National Right to Life, and I've spoken before their national board in closed session, and when you mention God's word, their eyes roll. They roll their eyes. Wow. They are so uninterested in God's word or biblical principles. They want to have a savvy conversation like you have to get the most moderate member of the majority on the court to write the opinion. Otherwise, the coalition will fall apart. That excites them, not the words of Jesus Christ.
Well, it's because, Bob, and I've been saying for quite a while that the greatest lie perpetrated on the church in my lifetime is the lie of the separation between the church and state as it is currently being practiced.
Yeah, as it's currently practiced, right.
Once we accepted that, we then accepted the fact that really the Supreme Court, the judgments of the Supreme Court, were in fact the law of the land. And once we went down that road, it's been very hard for us to get back.
Well, I think some of your viewers will be shocked if they go to AmericanRightToLife.org, right on our homepage, they could watch Focus on the Strategy 2. They will be shocked to see the letter that Dr. Dobson himself sent to us. Mm-hmm. And he was describing a federal judge who upheld partial birth abortion. And he said he defended that federal judge, and he said this is exactly what that federal judge should do. And his reason was because of process. The federal judge is supposed to follow the process. It didn't matter to Dr. Dobson that we're talking about murdering a child. And so a German judge would, according to Focus on the Family and Gary Bauer Family Research Council and all our Christian leader, pro-life leaders in the pro-life industry, they would say that a German judge should rule to kill a Jewish person because they have to follow the process. And that is moral relativism, it's legal positivism, it's humanism, it's corruption, and that's what Focus on the Family is supposed to be standing against.
Yes, but see, Pastor Bob, Gary Bauer and Tom Minery and Dr. Dobson, they would look you square in the eye and they would tell you that what they're doing is the best way to move the battle forward. Yeah. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, they think that if we convince another 5 million Christians to compromise on God's commands, then we'll be closer to victory. They actually think the more people that they can get to disobey God's command, do not murder, and support those who tell us they're going to kill the innocent, the more people who will obey the Republicans rather than God, they think that's the closer we come to victory. And here's why, Coach Dave. They think the battle is R versus D. They think the battle is Republican versus Democrat. They don't realize it's good versus evil. God doesn't tell us that we can't be involved in the military. We can't be involved in government. God doesn't say that. But what he does say is, above every other consideration, you are to honor and obey me. So we pled with Focus on the Family, Tom Minery. We said, Tom, here is what we're asking Focus on the Family to do. To look at the issues like homosexuality and abortion and all these issues, pornography, and say, what would God want the laws to be? And then once you identify that, work toward those laws. And Tom Minery said this, we cannot do that.
Why though, Bob? What would be his reasoning for saying that?
Because he is a committed legal positivist. Yeah. He is a secular humanist. He believes that the goals of a human government should be divorced from God's goals.
And when people do not want to abide by those laws, we believe that it's the obligation of the church, of Christians like Bob Inyart, to be the salt of the earth, which the Lord had called us to do, to step out and to confront and to lift up Jesus. Because if we do that, Jesus is going to draw all men unto himself. That's leading me then, Pastor Bob, to this thing that you called legal positivism. Mm. And I'd never really heard about it until, of course, it was one of the tapes that I got and listened to from you, and I came right up out of my chair and said, oh, my goodness. Would you explain, Pastor, to our listeners exactly what you mean by legal positivism?
Yeah, legal positivism is the belief that man could decide governmental principles, what is right and what is wrong. And it's a complete rejection of God's authority and that God has revealed himself to us. So that Dr. Dobson was wrong. He was being a moral relativist. He was being a legal positivist when he wrote this letter to us. And you could see the letter. We zoom into it on this video on American Right to Life's homepage, Focus 2, Focus on the Strategy 2, when Dr. Dobson defended a federal judge who kept legal partial birth abortion. One of our state legislatures, they passed a law saying we want to ban partial birth abortion. And a federal judge struck down that law. He said partial birth abortion should remain legal in the state of Colorado. Now, that's an abomination of a different kind. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Dobson and Gary Bauer and others explicitly, they defended this federal judge saying that that was a good ruling. He ruled exactly as he should because he was following the process.
So the fact that a judge follows the process, he follows procedures, stare decisis, all that stuff,
yeah,
and comes to an ungodly verdict. There are folks out there who would say, well, he did it the right way. He got the wrong answer, but he did it the right way.
God makes it explicitly clear that you don't get a get-out-of-trouble-free card if you say I was following orders. If someone tells you, if you're a Nazi soldier and somebody tells you, go in that house and kill those children, you don't kill those children. You don't do it. If you do, you're a murderer. It doesn't matter that it's the process or the law or you're following orders. It doesn't matter. So when Dr. Dobson, one of his favorite federal judges, Priscilla Owen, when she decided to kill baby 10, she gave a judicial order to kill baby 10 because of a technicality. Paperwork was filed too late, so they missed the filing deadline, so therefore I'm going to rule that this baby can be terminated. And Dr. Dobson and Ann Coulter and all these pro-lifers, they defend supposed conservative judges who rule to kill the innocent, and they say, well, they're following orders, they're following the process. That is evil. It's called murder. It doesn't matter if you follow the process.
That's right. It's exactly, and the church has compromised on that. And as long as they're following the law the way they're supposed to, then we say this. We say, well, we have to change the law. That's what they try to tell us.
Well, right, and you know what kind of lie they put to that? They say this. They say the judges have to do that because we are a nation of laws.
That's right. Say, so we allow judges to make the laws.
Right. They say we are a nation of laws. Well, guess what? If do not murder is set aside, you are not a nation of laws. You are a lawless nation. Amen. Could you imagine Dr. Dobson defending judges who rule to kill children, saying we have to do it, we got to follow the law? Dr. Dobson, the oldest commandment is do not murder.
There's a higher law.
That law, there is no human law that negates that, has any validity. But if you're a humanist, then you will say that human courts can trump God, and then peons have to obey the human courts and kill the innocent.
Coach Dave Dobinmeyer with Pastor Bob Inyart of the Denver Bible Church, kgov.com. Now, folks, listen to me. If you really want to get an education, I encourage you to do this. Go to one of Pastor Bob's websites, AmericanRightToLife.org. I'm going to say that real slowly because out here in the cornfield, sometimes it takes a while for that to echo off of those corn cobs and move around. AmericanRightToLife.org. And on Pastor Bob's website, it's not Pastor Bob, but on their website, Focus on the Strategy 2. The video is there. Folks, if you really want to get yourself an education, if you really want to understand what's going on, go to AmericanRightToLife.org and follow down to the down midway down.
Yes.
Look at Focus on the Strategy 2. It's a great, great video.
Coach Bob, Dave? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You said that you've distributed 100 of those DVDs. I imagine you've heard of Missionaries to the Preborn, Reverend Matt Truella.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, a heroic Christian pro-life leader, one of the best in the country in the upper Midwest. And Matt Truella put on their website and in their newsletter that Focus on the Strategy is the DVD of the century. And he wasn't talking about Focus 2, that's the sequel. He was talking about the original. That sold about 1,000 copies. So then when American Right to Life came out with Focus on the Strategy 2, it has sold thousands of copies, and they're very inexpensive. They're $14.99 each, and it is transforming the pro-life movement. It's helping to kill the pro-life industry and give the attention and momentum where it is due to the pro-life ministry of the personhood movement.
Well, Pastor Bob, we're going to link that on our homepage so that people, when they go to CoachDaveLive.com, they're going to go right immediately and see that Focus on the Strategy and be able to look at that thing because it's that important. But let me take you a different direction. Let's come back here a minute. Because if we're talking about the higher law and God's law, legal positivism and all that stuff, well, what about somebody, Pastor Bob, that says, you know what? Somebody needs to kill George Tiller. Because the Bible says that we shouldn't kill, and we're just preventing him from killing somebody else, and we need to defend the weak amongst us. How would you respond to that, Bob?
All right. Well, you know, that's a good question by someone who's really, truly wondering, because we do have the right of self-defense to defend ourselves and others. And if it's right to use lethal force in a park to save a girl, say, why is it wrong then to use lethal force against an abortionist?
See some girl with a swing in the swing, and a guy's come around the corner, and he's got a knife. He's going to get her. I'd go knock her off, and so would you.
That's absolutely right.
Why does that not apply then?
All right. Well, George Tiller, he's the fourth abortionist to be killed in this country, and American Right to Life does not condone the murder of George Tiller, but we are thankful that he will never again kill another child. So we are thankful that his murder spree has ended.
Mm-hmm.
On our website,
you do reap what you sow, don't you, Pastor Bob?
Yeah, Jesus.
There is a judgment day someday.
Jesus Christ told us that. You reap what you sow. George Tiller, as one church billboard said, George Tiller died as he lived. Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And of course, we know these things to be true. And any pro-life group like National Right to Life, who is denying these things, they're giving false, they're giving a false sense of security to abortionists. Mm-hmm. Because American Right to Life, in fact, it was Colorado Right to Life, was quoted in the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune saying that when a mafia hitman is killed, we recognize it as an occupational hazard. And it is absurd for a slave trader or a Nazi to think he could go home and live in peace and tranquility. That's right. Absurd. So with all that being said, American Right to Life has a vigilante worksheet on our homepage. And it identifies, it explores the biblical principles of self-defense and what is the threshold between justifiable self-defense and defense of a neighbor and a criminal action of vigilantism.
AmericanRightToLife.org. This is an abortion vigilantism worksheet. It's really, man, you guys, Bob, you guys do great stuff out there.
Well, that's so kind of you. And let me tell you, Coach, there is a professor, a pro-life professor of ethics, who has contacted American Right to Life and said in her entire career, she has not seen as clear a teaching from the Bible differentiating between self-defense and vigilante action, criminal behavior, and she's asked for permission to use that in her curriculum. The great thing about having a overtly Christian ministry against abortion is that we can go to God's Word. National Right to Life, they don't lead people to the Lord. They tell their activists, don't mention God. We're going to win this based on the laws of science.
Coach Dave,
none of the laws of science use the words right and wrong. You can't go to science to see that it's wrong because the laws of science don't use the words right and wrong. It's because we're made in God's image and likeness. And God said, do not kill the innocent. That's why abortion is wrong. And so American Right to Life's protest, Coach Dave, in the last 10 days, 7 people have prayed to become Christians through the ministry of American Right to Life as we're protesting child killing.
As you go out and you lift up Jesus, that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it, Bob? And it's amazing how he can. A lot of times I tell people when we go out there, you know, they come by, they spit at you, all that stuff, they throw stuff at you. But there are some people out there who you have been put there for that moment in time that the Lord has caused the confluence of those two people to come together for a far greater cause than we can ever understand. And we'll never come to that realization, Bob, if we don't take it to the streets.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And we have members of Colorado Right to Life just in the last 10 years, Coach, at our local Planned Parenthood have saved 1,000 babies, 1,000. And those are confirmed saves.
Think of the old pyramid, right? The old multi-marketing. Think of the people connected to each one of those people you save.
Right, exactly. And compare that to $250 million spent by Focus on the Family, National Right to Life, Jay Sekulow, Republican pro-life candidates advocating for the partial birth abortion ban, which never had the authority to prevent not even one killing of a child, not one.
So hungry for a victory that they would compromise to. It's like when you get, like when I was a football coach, Bob, we would get way ahead and we put the scrubs in. Sometimes it was a moral victory to let the other team run in there and make a touchdown late in the game. And there's been a lot of that going on in the pro-life movement. We've been scoring points that really aren't points. We've been making touchdowns that really aren't touchdowns. It's just,
good
statistics.
We have literally, we have put 1,000 judges on the bench. We, Republican, pro-life, conservative Christians, we've put 1,000 judges on the bench in the last 30 years. We have elected 10,000 Republicans, 10,000, and our government is as blasphemous and as drunk with the blood of innocent children as it could be. So the strategy of compromising on God's command has failed.
Has not worked.
And National Right to Life and Focus on the Family, they need to be confronted, and Christians need to look to leaders who will honor God above all else.
Okay, Pastor Bob, it's almost like it's brought us full circle here then. So what would you say, Bob? I turn on my Sunday morning TV, or I turn on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and it's like it's a disconnect in the world. You know, it's all materialism and your best life now and all of that kind of stuff. Bob, what is it going to take to reclaim the pulpits of America? Is that something we should even be spending our time trying to do? Because my experience has been, Bob, to get a pastor to engage the culture is so hard. And we'll get a hold of a heart of a man, and the man will come to a gathering that we have, and he says, I'm going to go back to my church, and I'm going to go to my pastor, and
And they're going to pour water on the fire and snuff it out, flame.
They're going to hoist their leg.
Yeah.
What should be that strategy, Bob? Because I love pastors. God bless pastors. But Bob, wear me out.
When the Lord came, did he celebrate all the honor and truth that was coming out of the synagogues and the temple and the high priest, the Sanhedrin? The religious leaders, for the most part, had dual loyalties. And that is true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament, it's true today. And so what we need to do is ask God to help us. Don't be discouraged, because our Lord Jesus Christ, he has the victory. So we fight the fight, not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, but worried about honoring and obeying him, faithfully following him. And as we do, we will save the innocent and we will save souls. So the battle, it is a win-win battle for those who are following Christ, whereas for Tom Minery, Dr. Dobson summed it up. He said, humanly speaking, we have lost every battle we have fought for 30 years. So you know what? They are failing because they're working in the flesh.
They are working in the flesh. Some men trust in horses and some men trust in chariots. And that's what I'm saying. Going back to Matthew 16, where it says that Jesus said that upon this rock I'll build my church. See, the battle for lives, that's a church issue. That's not a pastor's. We go to our pastors and say, we need to speak out more for unborn babies, and we need to speak out more for traditional marriage.
Yeah.
The pastors come back and they say, well, you know, I'd love to do that, but those are really political issues. And so then we run to John Kasich, or we go to Pat Tiberi, we go to one of our elected officials. I don't know who you guys would run to out there.
Yeah, and they say they're moral issues.
Oh, yeah, they said those are religious issues. We would really love to help you, and we really, really agree with you, but those are moral.
Yeah, those are, you got to change the heart, right? And then you go to the guy running for mayor, and he says, oh, abortion is a federal issue. The governor, he says, oh, it's a Supreme Court issue. Then Ron Paul is running for president. He says, oh, it's a state's issue.
Yeah,
so everyone wants to punt.
I don't want to, and I know you don't want to. Can't believe our time's up, Pastor Bob. I appreciate you giving me so much time. Man, we just appreciate the leader that you are and the difference that you're making for the cause of Christ.
Well, I hope this interview has been an encouragement to you as it was to me. It's not just here in Denver. It's around the world. People are standing up for God. And so wherever you are, always do right and risk the consequences. If you're here locally in Denver, remember Maranatha Christian Center. It's a great school. Maranatha.